editor of Women and Guns magazine and a director of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and I want to welcome you all to our Sunday presentations. I appreciate everybody taking the time to stick with us and to come to Sunday. It's a big time commitment to take a weekend off, and as you can see, we don't unfortunately get everybody to stick, but those of you who are here, I'm sure will enjoy the program. There are a limited amount of extra conference materials, including books, out at the front table. Lori or Elizabeth can help you with that. If you've got a place for them, preferably a useful place, not sitting on your shelf, would be great to pick them up and donate them to a library or bring them back to your club and help spread the word. The leadership program that some of you are going to attend is going to be in this room at 1:30. And that being the case, we are going to have a jam-packed morning, and all of my speakers are going to be available when they're supposed to be, and they are all going to keep to the schedule so that I don't have to be unpleasant. I know some of you are just here briefly and have planes, trains, and automobiles. And that's just at Houston International Airport. If you need to leave, I'd ask you to be as quiet as possible. If you have conversations, I'd ask you to take them outside the room. I'd also ask you to put your phones on vibrate and your phasers on stun. We're going to get started with my first panel. I want to bring them up. And this is a new panel, full of new faces, and that's great. We often have the usual suspects, and there's a good reason for the usual suspects, because they are smart and knowledgeable and have a lot of good information to impart. But it's also very, very useful to have some new faces and some new perspectives. This panel is called Advancing Gun Rights in the New Media, and our presenters will be Peter J. Gould, Eric Reed, Andrew Sipian, and Beverly Zaslow. They will be speaking in that order for 12 minutes each, and we will get started just a hair early with Peter. Thank you.
Good morning, gun lobby. Good morning. Holy cow, you know, I was going to make you do that twice. I don't have to. We had a great day yesterday. This was our first time at this show, and it was really fantastic. And I don't want to take away from anything that any speaker said, but there were a few things that really, really struck us, and I just wanted to recap them briefly. Mark Barnes told us yesterday morning that Johns Hopkins is hiring 40 tenured professors to create what amounts to an anti-gun think tank. 40 tenured professors in one place on one topic. And you know that public information is going to come out of that nest. And you know that sooner or later we're going to have to combat that. And because of that, Mark points out one of the most important things we can do is create public persuasion on the other side of the issue. John Fund talked about, very importantly, the fact that satire and ridicule are much more important in combating those other views than anger. And that's something everybody has to be careful about, because we've heard a lot of angry groups on this topic. Anger repels. satire can attract if we use it carefully. Philip Journey reminded us that we need to get young people more aware of the Second Amendment, get new blood into this movement, make more people aware, get them earlier, and feed an influx of pro-rights people. General Youngman talked about the fact, we all know it here, but some people seem to have forgotten it, that self-defense is one of the most basic of human rights. And that we have to fight what other people are saying with truth. But we have to get that truth out there. And Tom Gresham really nailed it for me. He said four things that really clubbed me on the head. One was, we're in this forever. There is no final win here because there are always going to be people on the other side. We will always be working on a long-term plan. For tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for 5 years from now, for 20 years from now. Wins breed wins, but losses also breed losses. And public opinion can take away every single win. It can take away the Second Amendment. Because elections matter. And who gets elected is decided by public opinion. And lawmakers don't just make laws. They often appoint the judges who will rule on those laws, and the justices of Supreme Courts in the various states and the U.S. Supreme Court, who ultimately decide what the Second Amendment means. So, in addition to the first two critical functions of any pro-rights movement, and we know what those are, right? You have to lobby to prevent the passage of bad law, and you have to litigate to oppose bad law that's already passed. But there's a third component, and that's what we're talking about today, and that is you have to educate the public, because a knowledgeable public won't elect people that they know are lying to them. And that's our job. The thing is, the last one of those items is the hardest to do in a society that is well over 200 years beyond its founding, where a lot of the people have grown complacent. There's a lot of apathy. There's a lot of misunderstanding. And we have to become just as adept at giving real information as the anti-rights side is at misleading. So that gets us to our story, which I'll do real quick. You know, Tom Gresham said, everybody can remember that moment when they said, I've had enough. Our I had enough moment stems from the fact that, first of all, we're a team of four producers who are based in, I am sorry to say, the People's Republic of Connecticut. Our production office is 15 minutes drive away from Sandy Hook, which I go by about three times a week. And the legislative response to Sandy Hook, not just in Connecticut, but of course in New York, in Colorado, in Maryland, in other states, and what our U.S. legislature tried to do, well, that was our I've had enough moment. And if that wasn't enough, then we got to watch one of our U.S. senators, Chris Murphy, tell Rachel Maddow on national television that the Second Amendment is not a God-given right, and that government can limit it as much as it wants, and that anybody who says that the founders intended a right to carry as a defense against tyranny, and I'm using his word here, is insane. That's, I'm sorry to say, our senator. So everything we heard yesterday applies to new media, whether that's audio, moving pictures, text messages, or any other way of communicating. We can't use the anti-gunners tactics. We have to combat what they do with truth, and we can't overstate the case. As Dave Koppel said yesterday, he referred to it as hysterical hyperbole. You do that, you get discounted, you get debunked, the other side wins. We do have to present facts in an engaging manner. We have to grab and hold an audience in a society where attention spans are short. Otherwise, they tune out. Anybody who's lived through a fifth grade history class back in elementary school knows what that's about. And this is where new media can really come into its own. So, for instance, in our case, where we are making a feature-length documentary promoting the Second Amendment, in addition to an on-screen panel of experts, we don't want just talking heads, in addition to graphics and demonstrations of gun technology and stuff, We're using dramatized reenactments with actors portraying the Founding Fathers debating the Bill of Rights so that you can viscerally get in touch with what it meant to be a group of people who were willing to die to fight a revolutionary war to oppose a government that they had found to be tyrannical. We have no idea what that's like in this society anymore. We're 200 years away from it. Not one of us has imagined the idea of breaking away from our mother country that might very well kill us in the attempt, because it's become that important to preserve liberty. We want to put an audience viscerally in that position. The founders were brilliant men. They designed the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights very, very carefully. They said, not that they're creating rights that the king didn't bother to give his citizens in England. They're acknowledging that the rights enshrined in those documents are the birthrights of all free people everywhere, and that no legitimate government would ever try to take them away. That was a brilliant move, because they were, over 200 years ago, trying to make sure that some of the things we see happening today could not happen as long as we stuck to their writings. And again, that's something that if we put in a presentation in a way that you connect with it at a gut level, can change minds. You're not going to get the far-off anti-rights crowd. You're not. Their minds are made up. But you are going to get the ones in the middle, the ones who haven't decided, the ones who are fence-sitting, the ones who are confused by all of the rhetoric on both sides. And then when we come to present-day level, we want to do the same thing. We want to dramatize some of the situations where law-abiding citizens were able to use firearms to protect themselves and loved ones, and conversely, where people obeyed anti-gun laws, did not bring a firearm into a place where they otherwise would have been able to and suffered tragedy as a result. And again, we want the audience to feel that, because the anti-rights side does that beautifully, and anybody who doubts that needs to read a little pamphlet called Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging. Who here has not seen that? Could I see a show of hands? Not seen it. Google it. Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging. It is 80 pages of, oh my God. It is 80 pages of how to misuse tragedy to mislead people. It is terrifying, because it is brilliantly done by the same kind of think tank that they're now hiring 40 more tenured professors to create a bigger version of. So that's our approach to Infringed, the movie, but more broadly, because everybody's going to have a different approach to this. In approaching this through new media, we'd argue that there are going to be some important commonalities. We need to engage, not just inform. People tune out, they glaze over if all you do is inform all day long. We need to be accurate and truthful, and we need to avoid hyperbole and over-the-top melodramatic approaches, because that pushes people away and it turns them off. We need to grab and hold an audience. And you can do that throughout new media, whether you're talking about a Facebook page, YouTube, any other approach. We need to make the audience feel something, because they need to want to know what comes next. And when we give it to them, we want them to be waiting for it. Now, those are all techniques. They all lead to a goal, and that is that the audience understands the truth, because the truth is on our side. It always has been. And an audience that understands the truth is much more likely to support the pro-rights position than the anti-rights position. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. You're going to set a very good example, and I appreciate it, because you had 42 seconds left. right now, we're going to bring up Eric Reed. Eric?
Good morning. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out this morning.
despite the fact that it's a little rainy and gloomy outside. It shows your true honor and dedication for our cause. That's the main reason we're here. As you know, our rights and our freedoms are under attack. They're assaulted, not just by the liberal administration that we have right now, but our own mainstream media. And it is a true honor for me to be here to celebrate our Second Amendment with all of you today. The American mainstream media controls so much. They have so much power, just a tremendous amount of power. They reach hundreds and millions of Americans, and they do so with a very uninformed, ignorant opinion on the Second Amendment and firearms in general. They continue to use terms like assault weapons, high-capacity clips, weapons of war, anything that'll put a negative spin on our God-given natural right to self-defense. Well, when they use these terms like assault weapons, I own, personally, some of these AR-15s and AK-47s. And if they're assault weapons, mine must be defective, because they haven't assaulted anybody. Assault is a behavior, not an inanimate object. And on a side note, anyone who's gone hog hunting here in Texas and has been charged by a 400-pound boar knows that they may really need that 30-round magazine. But we know that the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. Second Amendment is about protecting yourself and those you love against anybody wishing to do you harm. And yes, that includes our own government, if it were to become tyrannical. The right of the people to keep and bear arms is such common sense. It shouldn't even be up for debate, but our mainstream media continues to spin it that way. We have elected leaders that we voted into office to run our nation, and many have forgotten what true American freedom is really about. What a great victory it was for gun owners all across this nation when ex-Senator Morse and ex-Senator Angela Duran were recalled in the state of Colorado. This was news that even the mainstream media could not ignore. We as Americans sent the nation and the media a message. If you continue to vote against our freedoms and against our rights, we'll fire you. Get out. And I hope other state leaders took notice. You know, I don't understand who in the world these individuals think they are to tell us what we can and can't own, where we can and can't carry, how many rounds is too many rounds to have in a magazine. The list goes on and on and on. And they continue to put all this unconstitutional legislation out there, but they don't consider some of the factors that are going to be a repercussion of this legislation. They didn't consider the battered wife whose soon-to-be ex-husband doesn't care about that little piece of paper she has that's called a restraining order. They don't think about the loving wife who watched her husband get assassinated in cold blood in a bar because she couldn't legally defend herself. And they don't think about the young college student who was brutally attacked, raped, and left for dead on a college campus because she could not have her legal concealed carry handgun with her. And call me crazy, but I'd rather see the murderer, the wife beater, or the rapist laying dead on the street than the innocent victim. Their gun control agenda isn't going to save one life. It's going to kill thousands of honest, hardworking, law-abiding American citizens. And frankly, I'm afraid that myself or somebody I love could be next, and I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and watch that happen. So, I have a message for the media. Criminals don't follow the laws, but we do. So stop preying on people's emotions. Stop restricting good, honest, hardworking American people, and stop disregarding the facts. What the media should be doing is encouraging the prosecuting of criminals that are convicted, that are charged with these violent crimes. And they should be protecting and safeguarding the rights of honest, law-abiding citizens, not reporting false facts, which they continually do. So what's the answer? That's a loaded question. But I think that we're well on the right track. We need to continue to keep screaming, keep stomping our feet every time the media screws up. I see more and more politically active Americans every day, including myself, because it's only been less than a year since I became very politically active. And I think a lot more Americans are starting to take notice of what's happening to our government. You know, millions and millions of Americans love this country so much. They've awoken and they've realized that the time to fight is now. Senators are getting fired. Millions are contacting their congressmen. And there's a Second Amendment nearly every weekend somewhere. Every infringement that Congress attempts to pass through, every infringement that they continue to try to sneak through, we as Americans need to be there to fight it, expose it, and kill it, along with the senators and congressmen that try to do this. We need to expose them, and we need to do exactly what those great citizens of Colorado have done. Because my children deserve better, your children deserve better, our veterans deserve better, all Americans deserve better. They should be able to enjoy the same freedoms and liberties that we do. So from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to thank all of you for standing up and for being here today. Because together, I truly believe that we can make a difference by power and numbers. God bless you all.
Thank you, Eric. Apparently everybody had their Wheaties this morning, so we're doing very well. And I'm going to bring up Andrew now.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Sipe. I'm with Cheaper Than Dirt. I am their content and community manager. And if you're wondering why a company is here, we took a definitive step about 3 years ago to really look at how, how social media and social marketing can increase your audience, your group, and how it can improve your demographic levels. I started with Cheaper Than Dirt about 5 years ago, and one of the things I looked at was the age of our customer. And it really looks a lot like this audience today. To grow, you have to always look for new business. And for this organization and these groups to grow, you have to find new blood and change your demographic to look at a younger market. One of the things we started, obviously, was your social marketing, your Twitter, your Facebook, YouTube accounts. And let me tell you a little bit how well that's worked for us. Our demographic dropped almost 20 years in 4 years. Our now medium customer is in the 25 to 45 age group for us. Thank you. Coming from a long broadcasting career, jumping into the firearm industry was interesting for me to come over. I worked for CBS Television as a producer. But I was a longtime gun owner, and I tell this only because I worked in an office of about 385 people, and we had two people that carried a gun when you were allowed to. So coming over to Cheaper Than Dirt was really just almost like coming home, and I enjoyed working in the market. But for us, right now, if you pull away our retail sites, we're pulling in about 12 million visitors a month to our social side. That's through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I think I checked last night. This year we've pulled in about 25 million views on our YouTube account. We hit about 2 million every week on our Facebook account. This is where you're going to find your audience, your younger demographic. This is the things that they use. How many of you right now are you sending out emails? Raise your hand as part of your group. How many of you track your emails and your open and delivery rates? Very few of you. You have to craft your message and see how they work. Look at your subject lines. Are people opening your message? Are they reading it? Young people do. They're looking at their phones. Craft your message so that when they see a subject line, they want to open it. And then once you get them, you have to keep them there. And one of the things we look at directly is what we call our three E's. Number one, you have to educate them. Make sure that what you're giving them are facts. It's truth. It's not colored. Then you have to keep them engaged. Ask them questions. Get them involved in the conversation. You want to transfer your views into their views, and then let them continue the conversation. Those will be the people that carry on our message in the future. And lastly, entertain them. If you keep hammering them with doom and gloom every single time, they will walk away, run away. Keep that light sometimes. We do things on our Facebook page, like our Movie Gun Tuesday. You know, things like that will keep them coming back, but they get shared. And you want to get your message out to all these people in sometimes in a non-threatening way. So when you see something that goes out, and you see 170,000 people have passed this along, for us as a company, that's a win. And they keep coming back. Look at your YouTube videos. Are they informative? But also, are they thought-provoking? Do they bring more people in, ask more questions, and come through? I also look at, you also become a trusted member of the community. If you keep with the facts, you try not to always throw people under the bus. Don't eat your young. And we know a lot about that. They'll keep coming back, and you want to have them carry on your messaging and move forward. And it's really that younger demographic, the 25 to 35, who are going to replace you in the next 10 years. And if you don't go and find that market and find ways to communicate with them, it's going to die here with you. So we need to move that forward. The biggest thing also is you have to find a way to measure your results. And really with email, you have an open and delivery rate that you can track and you can test. And if you really want to look at something interesting that will scare you, look at the Obama campaign for 2012 and Google the cave. They amassed about 36 people that did nothing but crunch numbers, monitor their emails, test their message across the entire country. And then they fine-tuned it every single time to get the most effective message out. And it was a machine that is quite remarkable. And that's what they're using against us right now. So if you're going to look at working hard on the social marketing side, make sure you have a way to test it, measure it, improve it every single time, and go forward from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And last, we're going to bring up Beverly. Beverly?
Hello, thank you for having me here. I'm Beverly Zaslow, and I'm a political junkie. So I start with that, and that is sort of how I come to this. I think these gentlemen have pretty much said a lot of what you need to hear, but I'm going to give you a bit of a hands-on approach. I'm a producer. I've been in the entertainment business for over 30 years, and I most recently have produced Runaway Slave, which is a film. Like I said, I'm a political junkie, so keep that in mind. I produced Runaway Slave, which is a film about black conservatives in the United States and how government dependency is forming a new kind of enslavement. So there's that. I was co-executive producer of Hating Breitbart. Do you guys in here know who Andrew Breitbart was? Okay, so if you know, I was lucky enough to work with him over the last number of years, and we followed him around for the last 2 years of his life. And he was a force of nature, and he understood new media like nobody I have ever seen. And I was one of the people who didn't know him as well as others, but I got to sort of sit at his feet and learn from the master. I am also the producer, executive producer of Politichicks.tv, which is a group of women who run around the country and are politically active and speak about current affairs. And one of the things that we do also, or that I specifically do, is I'm getting behind the scenes and I'm trying to also affect policy and affect change. I also work with Liberty Alliance. We have over 40 sites, I think, right now. And a lot of what these guys are saying is absolutely true. You have to use new media to your benefit. It is a fast-moving media, and you can change with it as it goes. I also, going way back, I mean, I come out of traditional media, and I understand and what we're up against. And we refer to it as the lamestream media because they really do put out their message, and they don't really give us a lot of chance to say what we want. Now, Andrew Breitbart said politics is downstream of culture, and that's where I'm going to take off from, because really that is the truth. And we have to reach the youth, and what they know is pop culture. Now, pop culture has a message that takes hold over time, and that's why you have, and it becomes the new normal, and that's something we have to keep also in mind. So think of Glee, the show Glee. This is a show that has no normal kinds of family relationships in it. You've got a girl who has two dads. You've got a boy who is gay, and that's it's considered as normal as anything else, all the angst he feels. You have, they're taking the real life people, the boy who just died recently, a drug addict who died of an overdose, and they're telling a story about him like he's a hero. So that's what we're dealing with. We're taking, it's in the movies, it's in TV, it's on the web, and it's new media. And everywhere we look, they are grabbing hold of this. And when people say, oh, what does it matter what the Kardashians are doing? It matters because over the course of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, which is what they've had to work with, it sinks into society and becomes the new normal. So what we say, which what we know are facts, I'm always amazed at how we take the same set of facts, and from both sides, we look at it very differently. Our conclusions are totally different. So we tell stories. All of us up here have the ability to tell stories, and so do you. Whether you're telling it in film, whether you're telling it in TV, whether you're doing it in a video, whether you're doing it in a blog, whether you're doing it in a book, you tell stories, and that's what people are moved by. And pop culture is what affects things, not just today, but tomorrow. So we have the power to influence. And I started out working with someone named Jerry Weintraub years ago. I started out as an accountant, came out of school, and I worked in the entertainment business totally by accident. I was in the kitchen one day of the office and a telex came up, for those of us in here who, most of us I bet, remember telexes. It was asking him to sit in on peace talks between Begin and Sadat. And I couldn't, this hit me so hard because we made movies, we did concerts, we were entertainment, but I realized that we had the power to influence the world. You see it sometimes in the media. Gary Sinise on the show CSI, he's a conservative. He's very outspoken about it. And if you watch the show, you'll see he's got pictures of Reagan in the background. He has all sorts of little messages all over the place where he's putting out his message. And the set decorators will move this stuff out of the way, but he will put it back every single time. So we have to get our message out. They got out hope and change. Two words they got out, and they've won the election twice. And then that affects everything. It affects the judges. It affects who's in office. It takes it right across the board. So let me ask you in here, how many of you have a phone? Hold it up. Okay. How many of you do not have a smartphone? Who has, doesn't, okay? So there are a few of you. The bulk of you have smartphones. You have new media in your hands. You have the power in your hands to watch things, and by watching something, your numbers are being calculated. Your numbers are being heard. And you also have the power to take pictures. You have the power to tell stories. whether you tell a story through a short video that you film here and you put it up, or whether you take that and you sweeten it and you add music to it and you add pictures to it and you add sound to it, it doesn't matter. You have the power to tell a story. So you have to be relevant. That's the main thing. As gun activists, what I see is really interesting because I deal with various different topics. And this is probably the most directed group of activists I have ever seen, ever, ever. Your message is clear. You know what you're going after. You don't stop for 1 second. You have your facts down. So this is probably the most directed group of people I have ever seen. Now, I heard a lot of talk yesterday about a lot of gray hair in this room. Well, guess what? I have more gray hair than every single one of you, and you're not going to see it. Do you see it? You don't see it. And you can hide it. You can hide it because you can be relevant. You can get online, Twitter, Facebook, do these things. I was sitting over there yesterday tweeting out all day long, and Twitter is not my area of expertise. My better area of expertise is Facebook. You can separate groups. You can talk just to who you want to talk to at any given time. So do these things. If I can do it, you can do it. Now, it's not for everybody. I grant you that. Some of you are only going to write. Some of you are going to promote and push. Some of you are going to sponsor other people. And if you do sponsor people, sponsor us, because we know how to get the message out. And that is really the truth, because for the most part, we are always struggling to get money and funding to tell our story. And our story is going to be what changes the hearts and minds of the people out there. So when you tell a story, you have to expose. You have to expose something. You have to tell the story, move people, make them angry, motivate them into action, and ideally, you want to give them some sort of actionable items that they can take away. That's really, really important. I worked with PBS. I produced documentaries for PBS for years, and I always worked. I was early into new media, and you always have to give them something to do that's critical. Now, we in this room are agents of change. Every single one of us. I don't like getting up and speaking. I'm always behind the camera, but I get up and talk to teach people how to do this. And like I said, you have to be relevant, and you cannot let any of that stop you. So your Facebook army, your Twitter army, your people, they are all your army. You can tell them what to do. Now, you can do that through theatrical films. That's a much more expensive way to go. It's a lot harder. You better know what you're doing. You have to get a theatrical. You have to get some sort of release, whether you get theatrical, which is very tough to do in the kinds of films that we do. You have to then do self-distribution. But it's also very effective. It has a long shelf life. It is on a big screen behind you, so people will see it. But you have to know what you're doing. So if you stick with the new media, then you're dealing with websites or web series or videos, and you've got all the social media, you've got YouTube, you've got blogs. One of the groups that I work with, Liberty Alliance, we do all of our stuff on YouTube. We have YouTube channels. We monetize what's there on the site. You never know what's going to go viral. You don't know that. If you think you know that, well, go with God. That's great. I'm glad you do. But nobody knows what's going to go viral. I was filming. I had crews of people at both the Republican and the Democrat National Conventions. We were a little bit undercover at the DNC, but we were still there. And we got a video of somebody speaking that he said something that was so outrageous. My reporter looked at him and said, "You don't really mean that, do you?" And he continued on. Debbie Wasserman Schultz made this guy... he had to resign within 3 days, and he was supposed to present Obama in Florida a few days later, and the guy had to resign because he said something that we caught. It hit Drudge. The Blaze picked it up. It hit Drudge, and we were by morning at about 250,000 views. So you can't... Trust me, we didn't think we were going to get anything there. We really did not think we were going to get anything, certainly not like that. So you don't know when it's going to happen. It's a small screen, but it moves people, but it moves at lightning speed. So if you make a mistake, it doesn't matter because nobody even knows the next day. So now you can integrate everything and do it sort of as a hybrid. You can do the more professional kinds of videos. You can mix them up. You can do all sorts of things. But just remember, content is king. Your story is what has to be told. It has to have, no matter what, it still has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Even if it's just something short, you have to have a protagonist and an antagonist. And that can be freedom versus tyranny. It doesn't have to be a good guy and a bad guy, because they're all the same. But we're all storytellers, and we raise awareness, we inform, we create the outrage, we inspire to take action, and then you give them actionable items, and if we're lucky, we change history. So with that, I tell you, you can do this through many, many different ways. Your words, your blogs, your articles, your posts, even posts about this. If you get onto Facebook and you start pushing other people's posts, then that goes out. And remember, that is your army. And that is what we have to do. So we have to drive traffic. We have to meter it. You have to constantly be tweaking it, figure out what's going on, work with your grassroots. And that's how it's done. And like I said, for those of you in here who aren't the ones that are going to actually get out and produce, because it's not for everybody. It's a tough life. If you run around from rally to rally and you're running around the country and you hit into my age group, that gets tiring. But you have to act like it's not. You have to just do it. And for those of you in here who don't actually go out and produce, like I said, support those of us who do, because we will tell the message for you. And my next film I'm doing with, a lot of you may know him, is Larry Elder. We're doing a film on gun rights right now, and it's called A Necessary Good. So we're taking it from the angle of what happens if you don't have a gun. And so that's how we're approaching it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Excellent panelists with excellent information. And keeping us on time, which is very good, because but again, thank you very much, morning panelists.
Just for a second. Sorry for interrupting the agenda, but as most of you know, because you were here yesterday, we had our awards luncheon. And some of the awardees, we always keep it a secret for who gets them, and some people don't show up for the awards luncheon because they don't know they're getting an award. So I'd like to present one of the awards to one of the people who missed yesterday's awards luncheon, and it happens to go to one of our panelists, Eric Reed with Guns Across America. As you all know, we announced it yesterday. Eric. This award, just to remind everybody, was our Grassroots Activist of the Year for everything he's done with Guns Across America, to an individual who has, through countless distinguished deeds, demonstrated extraordinary dedication and preservation for the Second Amendment rights, and those actions have helped preserve the freedom protected by the United States Constitution. Eric, thank you.
Thanks. I'll let anybody who wants to answer it, but let me just restate the question in case people didn't hear it. An excellent question. How do we keep ourselves from preaching to the choir, even in new media?
One of the things that I always say, come on up to the...
Something I say, and I was telling some people last night, is we have to reach the people who don't want to hear what we have to say. And that's really critical. We have to reach the people who don't want to hear what we have to say. So I believe that we have to talk a lot about issues and not politics. That in some ways is the biggest thing we have to do. Stick with the facts, try to appeal to people's emotions, and that's one of the ways to do it. Because in terms of the, and I hate saying left and the right, because I'm working on some nonpartisan things right now, but which really aren't, but that's the way we approach it. You approach it from a nonpartisan perspective, and you work with the facts. And it's not easy, because You're never going to get the people, I think one of you was saying, you're not going to get the furthest who are to the left or who are opposing whatever we say. So just try to be emotional, stick with the facts, and but that's the main thing. Try to talk issues, not politics.
Yeah. Did anybody else? Okay. Andrew? Yeah.
I'll also add, Facebook is the best way for to really to do that, because not only do you have your friends, your core audience, but that you also reach their friends. If they post it and they share it, it then goes to different groups. Also look at groups that are conservative, but maybe not gun owners. For us, it was survival and prep and campers. That, you know, and then also for us, pilots. A lot of pilots are gun owners, people in the aviation business. Look among the people that you have in your group and look at their interests. Where do they share a common interest outside of guns? And then start looking how you can get that message to that group and slowly bring them in.
Anime, by the way.
Oh.
And following the political pressure and removing the ARs from sales, how did you deal with when something didn't go quite right on social media?
Well, that was a really difficult time for us, especially I am separate from the retail side. So on the social marketing side, we took it very personally. A lot of people don't know what actually happened at Cheaper Than Dirt when all that happened. We were, and this, I actually appreciate the question really to get this out. We were selling guns online at a rate of about, on a normal level, about 100 to 200 a day. And unfortunately, we do see a peak when something horrible happens. When Sandy Hook happened, we saw a standard bump, and we can easily could have handled that. But Sunday night, after the president spoke, the wheels came off our operation, literally. We went from doing 1 to 200 guns a day to about a gun every 2 to 3 seconds. Now, here's the problem. We update our inventory about every 15 minutes. So and for us, by the time we got in the morning, we had sold between 9 p.m. and 8 a.m. about 2,500 plus guns. Unfortunately, at that point, we still had guns on our website that we didn't have. That was a big problem for us, and we literally had to go in and say, turn them off right now, because as some of the guys here that worked in our gun cage, they spent the next 2.5 weeks just trying to process the orders we had from that Sunday night to Monday morning. For us on the social side, it went crazy, obviously. You know, there was a lot of accusations that we got a phone call from the political side, and we had to turn it off. That was not the case. We literally had a system that could not handle the volume. Our normal traffic is about 180,000 people to our website. We peaked out at some of those days at 750,000 people. We were gasping at the.
Okay. That's some other questions. Oh, sorry. And Peter wanted to make a comment on your original question.
Right. So, and again, the answer varies depending on the media. Of course, we're talking feature films. So, but making sure that you avoid certain kinds of incendiary language, because negatives repel, positives attract. Right. So we chose a somewhat incendiary working title for our documentary, Infringed, Second Amendment in the Crosshairs. But that's because at this part of the process where we're trying to fund the film, we're reaching out to you and we want to make sure you know what we're talking about. It's a working title. By the time we get to a release title, it's going to be called something that is less polarizing. So whether it's a feature film, a Facebook page, a YouTube channel, a YouTube video, a text message, whatever it is, making sure that the message is not something that's going to push people away is the most critical method of reaching the folks in the middle. Because you don't want to push them away.
And I promised this lady the second question.
So it's a quickie. I'm just wondering what your social media handles are. So I can follow you. Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Well, for us, we are on Facebook, we are Infringed the Movie. So if you went straight there, it's facebook.com/infringedthemovie. There's a website, infringedthemovie.com, which is being updated because it's we tried a Kickstarter project that is not going to serve our purpose, so it still refers to Kickstarter. By the early part of the week, that'll be gone. There's a YouTube channel, youtube.com/infringedthemovie. And on Twitter, they don't allow you that many characters, so we're Infringed Movie on Twitter.
Eric? We're still answering this question.
For us, it's gunrightsacrossamerica.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/gunrightsacrossamerica. Twitter is at GRA America, GRAAMERICA. And just to touch a little bit about the first question, about I think one of the key words that popped into my head when you were asking that was passion. You can't fake this. You have to feel it. And when you feel something from your heart, you reach people. And that's the key. Each and every one of us in this room can reach millions of people. And if you, I don't know if any of you had read an open letter to Obama. I wrote that in my bedroom on my iPhone right before I fell asleep. And I read it in the morning. And I thought, you know, this is pretty good. I'll post it on our Facebook page. And it went viral. I had no idea it was going to go viral, but it did. Western Center for Journalism picked it up. WND picked it up and a couple other sites. So it's you got to feel it from here. And that's how you reach people.
Thanks, Eric. Beverly or Andrew, did you want to give your handles and whatnots?
On Facebook, I'm Beverly Zaslow. On Twitter, I believe it's Beverly Zaslow. Bev Zaslow. My email is bev@bevzaslow.com. Zaslow Meat is my group, but then every single project has its own thing. Runaway Slave. By the way, we went with an incendiary title, and for us, that was good and bad. There were reasons, but we had our lead character who called himself the Runaway Slave, C.L. Bryant, which is why we did that. But, so there's the, on Facebook, every project has its own, and that's also something I'd recommend. Every project has its own. Have your own, if you are opening in cities with different things, have a separate page for each one in the city as well, because you can build a community. So if you do look up Runaway Slave, that's on Facebook, and different things will come up. Hating Breitbart's on Facebook. Nope. Yeah, that's Twitter, because Andrew was a Twitter guy. So the best way to reach me is Facebook usually. Let me also say, Liberty Alliance, if you look up Liberty Alliance, and Liberty Alliance is now selling firearms, we've gotten our license, but so if you look up libertyalliance.com, you'll come up with all the various different sites, and you just can go from there. Politichicks.tv is on Facebook, and okay.
And actually, we're pretty easy. We're cheaper than dirt across everything. But I will also, I'll add that we also have a newsletter that we send out every 2 weeks, and right now our subscriber rate is 1.3 million. So if you have a message or a really good story and you would like us to promote it, we do accept that type of articles, information. So just find us at Cheaper Than Dirt. We're pretty easy to find on the net, I hope. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll take one more question, and then if anybody has other questions, we will have a formal Q&A later. Yes, sir.
Go on to our Facebook page, Kansas National Firearms Association. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Thanks. And thank you again, panelists. That was great. We had a time for a few questions.